There was once a man born lame. Instead of joy and excitement, his first breath brought only sorrow and fresh tears to the eyes of his parents as they held his limp legs in their arms. His childhood was spent stuck in one place, dreaming of breathless games of chase, of scars left from wrestling in the gravel and the jolt of a jump reverberating through his own two legs. But his dreams were just that, dreams. His useless limbs forced him to live dependent upon the cool of a stone wall, the strong arms of a friend, or the coarse dust-covered fabric of his mat. First his childhood and then his adolescence swept past him, choking him on the dust stirred by their feet as they rushed by, their screams of laughter humming in his ears as a deep emptiness burrowed in his chest. Those children that his eyes chased after in the streets of his village, those children grew into men. Every day of his adult life, as he lay begging to survive, he could hear their rough laughter as they walked through town. The punch of a strong arm as one pushed another, the thud as one fell to the ground, and the sudden burst of laughter as the group joked together. They grew into men roughhousing after a day of hard work while he remained a distant observer. The murmur of their conversations, the stench of sweat caked on their bodies after a day of labor, their flirtatious grins as they walked with their lovers. These were the hints of a life he longed for more than anything else and could never have. They passed by him day after day. All that life could have been passed by him day after day. 1,000 footfalls, 1,000 strong, sturdy legs able to carry water and tools and children, a steady rhythm he could never join. Life passed by him day after day. There was once a man born lame, his days spent chained to the stability of the earth beneath his mat. His days spent desperate for the chime of coins as he welcomed their cool touch into his outstretched hand. His days spent begging in the streets. His days came to an abrupt end. Amid the constant stream of heavy steps and running children and the hooves of animals, the crowd gathered one day around a central point in the distance. The sudden stop of a cart, its wheels coming to a halt, the shuffle of fabric and feet as men and women pushed and stumbled into one another to get a better view. He could feel the gathering of bodies swell around him. Countless footsteps inching closer to his mat and his body. The threat of being trampled, swallowed by the crowd, threaded up his skin. He stiffened, his shoulders squeezed tight. He tried to make himself small and pulled his legs and his arms close to his chest. Maybe if he occupied as little space as possible, the crowd would form around him and not plow through him. Shh, quiet. A heavy hush lay over the crowd as a single voice spoke. Huddled on his mat, the man born lame could just make out the muffled words of a man, his voice steady and low. Fellow children of Abraham and all you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that we read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper guilt for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And they are now witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising Jesus. The man born lame had heard the rumors and whispers about the man called Jesus. The voices of women mingling in the streets, of men traveling home after a day in the fields, spoke of Jesus as a good man who healed many. He was crucified by the Romans, but this man claimed that Jesus was raised from the dead. What a wondrous claim. Could this be true? He felt a sensation stirring and bubbling deep in his chest. He didn't know if these words were true, but he wanted to know more. He wanted to believe that the rumors were true, that the blind could see, that the mute could speak, that the dumb could hear, that the lame could walk, that someone could be raised from the dead to live again. He wanted to believe. And the man born lame was stirred from his thoughts as 1,000 eyes that walked past him day after day suddenly turned to glare at him. The crowd shifted, and the man born lame could now see why the crowd had locked their attention upon him. The man speaking of Jesus was staring directly at him. And he spoke, his voice confident and commanding, "Stand up on your feet." And without thought, without question, in the span of a breath, the man stood and walked. In Acts chapter 14, we witness this scene where Paul stands before the crowd in Lystra and sees the faith held in the fragile form of this man born lame. And Paul tells the man to get up and walk. And the text says, at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. This man spent his entire life bearing the weight of being considered weak and useless, a burden upon others in a society that declared all you were worth was what you could contribute to the whole. Your identity was your disability. Your identity was your deformity. Your identity was all the ways you lacked. And the man born lame was all he was. A man born lame by the people that walked past him day after day. But Paul looks and sees not a man born lame, but a man with the faith to be healed. The man born lame becomes simply a man, whole, complete, because of his interaction with the Holy Spirit through Paul. And before this encounter, Paul and Barnabas are in Iconium. And the text says in Acts 14:1, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. And before their journey to Iconium, Paul and Barnabas traveled through Perga and Pamphylia, and from Perga they went on to Pisidia and Antioch. And Acts 13:48 through 49 says, when the Gentiles heard this, They were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. And before their time in this region, they stood before the proconsul in Cyprus, who believed and was amazed at the teachings of Jesus. The proconsul in Cyprus, the Gentiles in Pisidian Antioch and Perga, the Jews and Greeks at Iconium, the man with the faith to be healed in Lystra, all encounter the story of a risen Jesus through Paul and Barnabas. And it's easy to gloss over the names of large groups, Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, and it's easy to gloss over the names of cities and villages that we've never been to, and it's easy to add the man to a list of those miraculously healed and forget that these are real people of flesh and blood with families and friends who have held their newborn children and buried their parents. These are individuals that God longed to love. But what if Paul and Barnabas never went? The story of the proconsul in Cyprus, the Gentiles in Pisidian Antioch and Perga, the Jews and Greeks at Iconium, and the man with the faith to be healed in Lystra, they all begin in Acts 13, 1 through 3. The text says, "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off." What if Paul and Barnabas never went? What if Paul and Barnabas were never sent? Just a few weeks ago, we experienced a very similar story to the church in Antioch. In this very room, we gathered around Andrew and lay hands upon him. And after a year of training, a year of friendship, a year of encountering the love of God in this place, we sent him away. And why on earth do we send people we love? Why are we a church that sends? The reason is because we care about people that we may never meet. We care for the men and women that will encounter Jesus through Andrew. We care for the men and women facing death on the fields of battle that will encounter a God of comfort and peace through Andrew. We care about families who are separated, the families who will bury their fathers and mothers, who Andrew will counsel and walk alongside in the most tumultuous seasons of life. At least I think we care. We are also the product of someone being sent. Sent into our homes, sent into our workplaces, into our cities and neighbors, into our own hopelessness. And we will not allow that work to stop with us. At least I pray to God we won't. May we be like the church in Antioch that worships and listens closely to hear where the Holy Spirit is leading us and where he wants to send those who come into our midst. Because there are men and women out there with the faith to be healed Will we send someone to them? Will we send someone to them? Pray with me. God, we are honored by the example of Antioch and of Paul and Barnabas, and I pray you will help us to see beyond these walls, that you'll help us see the stories of those we may never meet, but who we will send people to love with your love. God, help us see. Help us listen to where your Holy Spirit is asking us to go. And we pray this in the name of the Father.